Let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Will you find your place? Let's stand and read together. We're going to look at a lot of scripture, but I pray tonight that we can pick up something right here from this that'll be a strength. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verse number 1, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." You can be seated. And let's seek the face of God again. Father, Lord, we need divine wisdom. We need divine intervention, God, tonight in the message. We need you, Lord, to speak. And I pray, God, that our hearts might be drawn close, that we'll find something tonight from the precious Word of God that'll be a challenge. And Father, we might be able to walk in the precepts of it as we leave tonight. And that, Lord, we might get challenged enough that, Lord, we'll see that there's some corrections need to be made in our life. And if they are, Lord, I pray tonight that we'll do it. And the Lord, if there's something in our heart tonight that's displeased in your sight, I pray that the Spirit of God would show us. And Lord, may we be humble enough and, Lord, honest enough with ourselves and with you, Lord, that we'll try to do something about it. Oh, God, may it not fall upon vain ears or upon deaf ears. And Lord, may tonight we hear the voice of God speak through the Spirit, and I'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for this people that have assembled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, by way of introduction, I want to go back and look at something here. We'll kind of give a little message, something like this tonight. A perfect example of the permissive will of God. We'll find exactly that this is an example of the permissible will of God. And let me explain myself. I believe you know what I'm talking about tonight, but in case somebody on the sound of my voice does not know, I believe that there is a perfect will of God. And I believe that there is a permissible will of God. Most of us in this building tonight probably cannot say that we are 100% or 101% in the perfect will of God. We may be in some areas, but to be in the perfect will of God means that God has complete control of you. Means that there is no way whatsoever anything else has any control at all. And you're in the perfect will of God doing exactly what God wants you to do, as God wants you to do it, the way God wants you to do it, so on and so forth. But many of us tonight are in the permissive will of God. That means we're where we sometimes want to be, but not necessarily where God wants us to be. We may be doing right. Amen. And these people here were given the permissive will. Let's go back and look just a minute, and by way of introduction, go back into the 7th chapter, and let's back up to verse number 15. Actually, when I studied this and looked at this, I felt like preaching on David and went over to David and ended up on Saul. And the reason is because I believe the Lord put David, he knew he could get me in the Scriptures to the right place, and then he led me here. In 1 Samuel chapter number 7 in verse number 15, it said, "And Samuel judged Israel, how long? All the days of his life." That's a good testimony. In other words, he was in the harness for the time that you remember you said, how long? From the time he is weaned, he is taken up to the house of God. Put in the house of God as a young child. Given back over to the work of God. You remember his mother's name, Hannah? She prayed for a man child, and she got the man child. And she said, "I'll give him back to you." She kept her promise. And God used this man, and you'll find good reports on Samuel all the days of his life. Amen. He's a good example. We ought to preach on him more often. Now he said in verse number 16, and he went from year to year, he is very faithful, in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. He was a dedicated man. Now what's happened when we come to chapter number 8? He's getting to be an old man. And when men start getting old, a lot of churches start looking for new pastors, you know, when they get old. And so Samuel had got a little age on him. And it said he came to pass here when he's old that he made his son. So he was trying to take care of business, and he put his sons in charge of being judges. Now let me remind you of something else here. You got to get the setting of this, or we're going to miss it. This is not the days of the kings. Now Israel's never had a king. This is still the days of the judges. And Samuel is a judge and a priest, if you will. And matter of fact, you'll see that as a judge, he's ending up being the last of them, and the king is fixing to come in. And so when they find out that he's old, well, let me just say this. We're fixing this. This is a transition. Chapter 8's a transition from judges ruling unto the use of a monarch or a king. Somebody's going to take over. May I say this tonight? I look at this, and I don't believe it was ever in the intent of God from that sense that Saul be the king. There was going to be a king. God said there would be. But this is premature. And God allowed it. He knew it was coming. And God allowed it. And that meant it's going to be the permissive will of God. God allowed that to take place. He could have stopped it if he'd wanted to. And he give them the desires of the heart. Sometimes God will give you the desires of your heart, and you'll wish that you had never got them. Sometimes you've got things from God that you say, oh, I wish I hadn't asked God for that. Amen. So we look at this and we see it. Now, I also want to say this. I believe that there's some things here we need to look at very carefully. Verse 2 said, now the name of his firstborn begins to give his name, Joel. And his second was Abiah. But in verse number 3, look at this, and we're going to break this chapter down. And his sons walked not in his ways. They didn't follow in the footsteps of daddy. But they turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted the judgment. In other words, they give judgment that was unjust. Now look at this. As we begin to see it tonight, we'll see these boys. They wanted to walk in the ways of the world. That's exactly what they wanted to do. It must have been a headache and a heartache. I've read in the Word of God some things, and you'll see this if you'll study the Word of God. You remember there was Isaac who had two sons by the name of Jacob and Esau. And I'll assure you that Isaac spent many sleepless nights worrying about Jacob and Esau and the problems that they had. How that they would not speak together or to each other for years. I'll assure you tonight that the man of God that followed with Moses, Aaron is his name, he's actually the priest, had two sons by the name of Nadab and Abihu that got drunken and offered strange fire unto God, and God killed them. That must have been a heartbreak to the man that followed after the man of God for so many years, who was the mouthpiece, so to speak, of the man of God. When God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Aaron, Aaron spoke to the people. That must have been a heartbreak. I read in the Word of God that a man by the name of Eli, you remember Eli? He was the priest. He was on the throne. You'll find that in the Samuel as well. And you'll find that he was on the throne. And they went out fighting the battle, and they had the Ark of the Covenant. And he had two sons by the name of Hophni and Phinehas. And they were wicked and committed all sort of sins. and the battle was lost, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And you remember how that their lives was taken as well. And Eli fell off the throne, and when he fell, he broke his neck. And remember how that the child was born, and they named him Ichabod. The glory of the Lord had departed because they took the Ark of the Covenant away from them. But they got that back. Can you think about that just a minute? Now, here's another one who has given his entire life over to serving God, and he's lost two of his children. Amen. Brother, here they are. I mean, they haven't lost their lives yet, but they're not walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, I've seen this happen before. I don't understand it, why that somebody can, and how somebody can raise their children for years under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God and see them go to the world. I see it happen all the time. I see some sometimes that's in the world that they stay in the world and never get out of the world, never accomplish anything. And sometimes I see people that's been raised in the world find the Lord in later life and live for God. I've seen that as well. But I'll tell you, I'll still take my chances of putting my children at the house of God and teaching them the right things. But that don't mean tonight that you're not going to have some headache down the road. But there's some things that we need to look at. And I want to say here, as we look in verse number three, these boys were following the lurings of the world. They followed not in their father's footsteps, but they followed after the pleasures of the flesh. And they actually were not servants of God that tried to please God, but they were men pleasers. And brother, we've got a lot of that in our day. You know that as well as I do. But look at here, he said, and his sons walked not in his ways. Now God has given Israel his best up to this point in time. And Israel now has rebelled against God and said, we don't want what we've had all these years. We want a king. And we're going to find what God says about that in just a minute. They wanted something else. They were not satisfied. Child of God, it's a danger tonight to get in the place of life that you're not satisfied with the things of God. You need to be satisfied with what God gives us. They were not, first of all, satisfied with God's ways. They wanted the ways of the world. They didn't want the ways of God. Many today don't like to continue walking on in the precepts of God's Word and trying to be holy and dedicated and consecrated and sanctified people set apart from the world. They want to live like the world wants to live. We're going to point that out when we get down here in some other portions of Scripture here tonight. But I see tonight they don't like His ways. Secondly, they rebel against God's Word. We're living in a nation tonight that rebels against God's Word. You've heard me talk about it, especially in the last few services, how that people want to change the Word of God. They defy the Word of God. They don't even want the Word of God in their hearing anymore. Amen. I hear more people today saying we ought to live by the Constitution and we ought to live by by the amendments and all that. I hear people, and I'm not against all that. Amen. I live in a country and I'm glad that I'm in America. Amen. Have nothing against the country. I have a lot against what's going on in it. Amen. And I see our politicians who have gone in a different direction. But I want to say to you tonight as I look at this, brother, I'm not trying to follow the Constitution. I like it. I'm not trying to follow all those things. Brother, we need to come back to following the Word of God. Amen. Brother, that's what we've done. We've thrown the Word of God away. We don't want God's ways. We don't want God's Word. We don't like God's work. We get tired of working the way God wants us to work. We want to do what we want to do, live like we want to live, and we want to go on. We don't like God's worship, so we try to change it to please the flesh. We don't like God's will. We want to do what we want to do, and that's where Israel had come to. They'd got the place that they were not satisfied with what they used to have. We want the modern ways. Amen. We want the modern ways. They had forgotten God's blessings. They had forgotten God's provisions. They had forgotten God's protection. They had thrown all that away and they got the place now that they did not want. They didn't want to be recognized as a peculiar people no more. Now reckon why they wanted to have a king. Whatever give them a thought that they wanted a king. Because in Genesis, kings have been all around them. All the other nations around them had kings. Amen. That's why I say they wanted to go to the world. The world had kings. They'd looked at that and they said, we want to live under that. We don't want to live under God no more. We don't want to live under the moral principles of the Word of God no more. We don't want to live under being subjected to God. We want our own ways of life. We want our own laws. We want our own government. Amen. Somebody said, I like the government of America. I like God's government better. Amen. You've heard me say this before. His government's it's a dictator. Right. Dictatorship. Amen. God don't give you no choice. He tells you what He wants. Amen. Right. Amen. Well, I like that anyhow. And so as I look at this, I see what's happened to us. And can I say this? I've been reading a lot of prophecy and studying a lot of prophecy down through the years. And I watch it and I see how these things are shaping up anyhow. I've often wondered about America and how America's going to play a part in the tribulation. And I have never believed it up to this point in time that America would ever become under the rule of a dictator. I would have never preached that. But the more I study prophecy, the more I studied, I believe that America's government, like we know government today, will fall. And it'll have to come to a dictatorship to be able to fall into of the world system. Amen. America's always said we're separate. We've got our own government. No other country can tell us what to do. But there will rise a world leader one day. We know that from the Word of God. Amen. And so the system we have today, that's why you see it crumbling. You can blame it on what you want to. You can say it's got to be this way and it's got to be that way. But I want to tell you, I believe it's falling in the plan of God that one day this nation, as we know, it's going to fall in the leadership of it, and the world will have a one world system. America would stop that tonight. I'm talking about America would stop that tonight if we was going to have a one world leadership. The American people would rebel against that tonight. But less and less are rebelling. Give it another year, 2 years. It may just be months. May just be days. That America may fall to the place. And brother, when America gets in want, when America cannot supply its needs anymore, and it gets dependent on other nations, and other nations begin to depend on the other, that's when we're going to come to one world system, and we're headed there fast. Amen. So I said, that's beside the point. That's just thrown in on top of all this tonight. That wasn't in the message, all right? But think about it. Go with me now, please. He said his sons walked not in his ways. Secondly, they turned aside after lucre. That word lucre's money, monetary means. They turned after money. Is that not what drives this country tonight? Is that not what drives the religious system also as a whole? Thank God there's a few that have not sold out. Thank God there's some it's not for sale. Thank God there's still a few of us that said we're not going to give in to it. Thank God there's still a few in America that'll still hold to the truth and not worry about being paid for and can't be paid. Amen. To make decisions. But the Bible said that's what his sons did. They went after lucre. Secondly, and took bribes. Amen. They took bribes. Don't we know that's exactly what the political system does tonight? Time and time again, bribes and money has bought people's ideas and brought them to the table and got them passed, laws passed, and we're living in that problem time today because of it. But you know what? You can't bribe death. You can't bribe sickness. You cannot bribe tonight the graveyard. And you can't bribe the judgment of God. Brother, those things are sure as I'm standing before you. So we find that they took bribes and then they begin to give perverted judgment. They would not pass out good judgment. We are living in that time in our day, spiritually, physically, financially. Amen. We are finding that today that people are living and passing perverted judgments. Look at verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, look here, behold, thou art old. His hair got gray. And he said, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now notice this little thought it said here. Make us a king. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. That means they wanted to become like the world. Most folks in our churches today want to become like the world. We want to become like those folks out there. Amen. Let me skip on over and give you something in verse number 20. In case we don't get over there. Verse number 20, it said that we also may be like all the nations. Does that not remind you of a teenager said, hey, I want to dress like they dress. I want to talk like they talk. I want to go like they go. I want to do like they do. Talk about the world. Amen. And so they wanted that. They wanted to become like the world. This is not the first time that they actually wanted a king. In the book of Judges, chapter 8, you jot these scriptures down. Judges chapter 8, verses number 22 and 23. We'll find in the Word of God that there was a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon went to war. He'd won the battle. Brother, he had brought things to pass. And the Israel went up and said, hey, why don't you rule over us? Gideon said, I can't. Amen. Well, they just want him to be king. We want to make you king. They didn't say, you didn't use the word king, but they said, we want you to rule over us. So they were looking for a king. Gideon said, it's not time for a king. I can't do it. And the Bible said that Gideon, just judged them for a length of time and a long time. And then when the Bible said Gideon died, the people left God and began to go back to the world. Amen. And so we'll find that that's not the first time here that they wanted a king. But now they're saying, give us a king. Give us a king in verse number 6. But the thing displeased Samuel. Samuel didn't like it. Reckon why Samuel did. Somebody said the preacher got upset. Well, he did. He got upset. It displeased him. Amen. I know where Samuel's coming from. There have been a lot of times people said, why don't you give us this? Why don't you do that? And I say to myself, and I sometimes don't say it to them, but I'm like them, I get displeased with it. Amen. Sometimes people say, why don't we give in to this and do that? Compromise a little bit. I get displeased with God's people wanting to compromise. We should stay strong with the things of God. Don't back up. Amen. But stand strong. So anyhow, what's happened here? He said, but the thing displeased Samuel. And they said, give us a king to what? To judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Thank God he is a praying man. Take it all to the Lord. Now look at verse number 7. We're going to see what he prayed. And we're going to find out what God said. It depends on what God says, how we ought to operate our lives anyhow. So the man of God went to the Lord. And here's what he said. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. Don't you know that must have got Samuel's attention? Samuel's got displeased. You said, hey, you mean to tell me that the Lord wanted that? Let's read on a little bit. Samuel was displeased. He knew it wasn't of the will of God, the perfect will of God anyhow. And then he would go on down in the verse. It said, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Samuel, what? You go ahead and give them what they want. They hadn't rejected you anyhow. They're not refusing you to be their judge. What they're refusing is me. They don't want me to rule over them. Amen. So what they want is to get them a little king. If they get them a little king, guess what is going to happen? They'll get their standards a little lower under a man than they will under God. They know that they can get by with things that they can get by with under a king better than they can get by with the things under God. That's exactly the way human minds think today. We don't want under the operation the Word of God. We'd rather have some man over us as to have God over us. Human flesh, am I right? Amen. So here's what happened. I said that I should not reign over them. Now in verse number 8, God says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I want you to get them one now, but look here. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Right beside that little word, gods, I put out beside that, and you can do it anytime you see it in the Word of God, demonic. Amen. Anybody's worshiping gods? Brother, you've always got a devil. Amen. It's demonic. An idol is demonic. Amen. A statue you worship is demonic. Amen. That's why God said, don't want to have them before me. And so he said in verse 9, now therefore hearken unto their voice. Do what they tell you to do. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. God said, all right, I want you to get them a king, but I want you to protest and I want you to preach to them and I want you to tell them if they're going to get a king, they're going to get a king the way I want them to have a king. And that king's going to have to fit the bill. Can't just be somebody out there off the street. We're going to go get somebody that's right. Amen. God had a stipulation. Now he said in verse number 10, he said, now therefore, verse 9, now therefore hearken unto the voice again, howbeit yet protest Solomon unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Get that in your mind. Now verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. Now he's going to give them the law. He will take your sons. He's going to tell you what they're going to do. Amen. And you know what? The Israelites sold their children. Sold their children into slavery. And I don't say sold, but they gave them over. Didn't actually sell them, they gave them. Just to have a king. Now God said, I don't want that. I'm their king. God said, I want them to walk. They've got the liberty to go and to do. They had no leadership except God. Can you get that? That's the best way to live. There's no better way than to live but under the hand of God. With no leadership, no government. Amen. Somebody said, you against the government. Brother, I'll tell you, if we can live under God and He's the ruler, that's the perfect way God intended that to when He made man. He didn't make man and then make government to control him. He didn't make government and then make man. Amen. The government was already around when God stepped on the scene. And he made man and he said, what I want you to do is live for me. I want you to exemplify me. I want you to magnify me. I want you to glorify me. I want you to exalt me. God made man for his own glory. Now down in verse number 11, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. He's going to draft your children. He's going to incorporate your children. He's going to first take your sons and he's going to appoint them for himself for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before. He's going to enlist them in his service. And that's exactly what the king does. When you got a kingship, you got subjects, and that's the people. They're subject to the king. They have to answer to the king. God said, I want them to answer to me. I don't want them to answer to man. I want them to answer to me. But in verse number 12, and he will appoint him captains over 1,000 and captains over 50s, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. They're going to be his workmen. They're going to be his manufacturers. That kind of describes the way America is. Stop and think about it. Amen. We say we are free. We are in Christ, and that's all. Amen. Verse number 13, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, and to be bakers. Amen. One thing about it, and I'll throw this in right quick, and I know this is what people, they want to make fun of me and talk about me because I say things like this. But you notice he didn't make the ladies the chariot keepers, no, and the horsemen. Amen. Didn't say nothing about horsewomen. Amen. He put the ladies doing what's necessary. Made them, they cooked the cakes and baked the bread. And boiled the chicken or whatever you do with it. Amen. Verse 14. And he will take your fields and your vineyards. Now you know what he's going to do? He's going to get your kids. He's going to get your sons. He's going to get your daughters. And the next thing the king is going to do, I just want them to know when they get a king, here's what they're setting themselves up for. I don't want them to go into this blind. Amen. I'm just sure Samuel's saying this, and he's going to say, this is going to change their mind. This is going to make them think twice about getting a king. They're not going to want their sons to be hauled off into the labor force. They're not going to want their daughters to be hauled off to be slaves and servants of the king. And then they're going to come out and get your fields, your vineyards, and your olive yards and all that, and they're going to take them, they're going to make you servants in them, and they're going to get all your possessions. They're going to take what you own. And he said, and he will take the tenth of your seed. That means there will be a tax put out there. Charge you a tenth. You're going to have to give a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give his offices to his servants. And then they say it's a tax going to be him. Somebody's got to pay. You got a king. Somebody's got to keep the king up. You've got a God. You don't have to have nobody keep him up. He's going to keep you up. But the people, I can just see them here as they're hearing this. And I'm looking at them in my mind's eye. And they're sounding like a teenager that you've been talking to. You're blue in the face and they're just looking at you. Like they're in la-la land and you don't even know where they're at. Amen. Praise God. I talked to my kids back yonder when they was younger. And I looked at them and I thought this, like they was out on the airport. They was out there on the runway fixing to take off. And they're just viewing, waiting on time to leave. Amen. Verse 16. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Then he said, he will take the tenth of your sheep. Going to charge you another tax for your sheep. Amen. And you shall be his servants. And ye shall carry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Hey, Israel, wake up. I'm going to give you a king, but you get this king, here's what you're going to do. You're going to lose your sons and your daughters and your land and your freedom, and you're not going to have anything left. You're going to have to pay taxes. And then on top of that, you're going to have problems and you're going to get on your knees and you're going to call on me to help you. And I got news for you. I won't be available. Now that's the danger of living in the permissive will of God, ladies and gentlemen. Some of us have chose our life not to live according to this book. Some of us have said, yes, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm born again. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. But there are just some things about that book that I just cannot accept. There's some things about that book that I am not going to do and I don't want to do. I really don't want to go against God. But Lord, somehow I just want to kind of live a little peaceful life and not make no waves. And I don't really want to have to conform to that book with all my heart. And God says, all right. Live your life like you want to live it. God will not make you live right. He will not make you line up with the book. He will tell you what the book says. He will send you the preacher to tell you what God wants you to do. He will give you some direction from the Spirit of God out of this blessed book tonight, but God will not beat you on the head and make you live right. God says you can live like you want to live. But I want to remind you one thing down the road. You're going to pay the price for it. And you're going to call on me one day and I'm not going to answer you like you want to be answered. Is that plain? That's as plain as it is here in the Word of God. In other words, God is saying here, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king. Because of your king, because of what you wanted. Now, it may not be a king that you're wanting tonight, but anything in this world that's outside the Word of God that you've desired and incorporated in your life and taken into your life as against the Word of God is exactly what these folks were doing here. And it goes on to say, which ye shall have chosen, you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. In other words, he's saying to you, you'll be sorry for your choice. There'll come a time when you wish you had not. Now you can refuse to line up with this book. God will not kill you yet. You can refuse to obey its pages. You can refuse to give your heart and life totally over to Him in dedication and consecration. Oh yeah, you're saved. You don't have to read your Bible. God will not make you read your Bible. You don't have to pray. God won't make you pray. But He'll get you to the place where you'll want to pray. Amen. Have you ever got the place, most of the time you live your life and you don't think too much about praying, but God knows how to put the squeeze on you. Amen. To where you're glad. You can't hardly, oh Lord, you ain't even going to wait till you get home. You're not even going to wait till you find an altar. You're going to make you one right there. Amen. That old heart starts to skip in 3 or 4 beats. Steps gets a little slow. Things begin to happen. Your world's turned upside down. You don't know or some tragedy's got you. Amen. You don't try to make no appointment with God to pray. You just start. Amen. You don't get on the phone and say, Lord, is there any opportunity I can get to the throne of God? You just get on your knees. Verse number 19 said, Nevertheless, when you say that word nevertheless, you know something's fixing to happen. Nevertheless, that means in spite of all that, and after all that, and when all this is said and done, he said, nevertheless, the people refused. You see that word? You ought to underline it. Refused. They refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. In verse number 6, they said, give us a king to judge us. And after the man of God preached his message, they said, now we will have a king over us. They're not even asking no more. Emphatically to the man of God, they're saying, we ask you. We're not asking you anymore. Now we will have a king. Some of you saints tonight, you've said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to conform to your word. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. I don't want to live the way you want me to live here. You've told the Lord that sometime in days past. And after days have gone by and you've heard the truth of God's word, now you've come to a place in your life and you said, I will not do that. I will not do that. Dangerous. Had a lady in a revival meeting years ago. I was so young in the Lord, I didn't know what was going on. It was in the revival. I wasn't preaching the revival. I was sitting on the front row. And the preacher preached and the Holy Spirit of God fell in the place. The invitation was given. Several came to the altar. And this lady came to the altar, got right down at the front, and the pastor looked over at me and said, brother. And so I took my Bible and got down there with her. And I said, ma'am, what's your problem? And she said, God's told me to do something, and I don't know what to do. And I said, well, what's the Lord told you to do? She said, the Lord wants me to do something, and I don't want to do it. And I said, well, God tells you to do something, you got to do it. I didn't know what I'm talking about. I thought I did. And I'm trying my best to find out what God wants her to do. I thought it's get right with God or something. And so I'm I can't do nothing. I'm against wit's end. And I look up at the pastor and I motion for him, and he come down there. And we got down there on our knees. He got on the other side of her. And I said, she's got something that God told her to do, and she don't want to do it. And I told her she needed to do what God told her to do. And he said the same thing to her, ma'am, what did God want you to do? And she said, he just wants me to do something. Well, he said, ma'am, I got to know what God wants you to do and try to help you with this thing. So he's a little wiser and older. He had some gray hair. I had a lot of hair then, and it wasn't gray. And so he said, ma'am, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to tell me God's called you to preach? She said, that's exactly it. He said, well, ma'am, God has never called a woman to preach. He's not calling you, and he never will call you. And she took my Bible, and I never will forget it. She slapped my Bible real hard about half a dozen times. She said, I don't believe that. I won't believe it. I'll never believe that. And she got up and run out the door. Now, some of y'all got that same attitude. Not about preaching, but about some of the things of this book. You said, by the way you've lived for 20 years or 10 years or 15 years or 40 years, refusing to do what God said in this book, you've come to the place now that I will not do it. Can I remind you again that one of these days you're going to wish you had done what God said? It may be when you're fixing to make the crossing. You know, I get older every day. That's kind of natural, isn't it? I don't know whether you realize this or not, but you're a little older now than you were when you got here tonight. That's deep theology. But the older I get, I look back and wish that I'd changed a few things in my life. Amen. I thought I was doing some of them right. Found out it was just the permissive will of God and not the perfect will of God. But I don't want to walk outside the will of God anymore in my life. Look at verse 20. It said that we also may be like all the nations. God's people don't need that. We never should look like all the nations. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. What they're saying is, we want to look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, and be like the world is. And what we want is a king, because we can get less judgments. Our standards will be a little less, and we won't have to give as much account. We won't have to live by faith. We can live by sight. And then down at the bottom of it, down there, it said, and fight our battles and go out before us. In other words, about like what the world is today, looking for a handout. Looking for the world to satisfy and solve their problems. You know, we got people in America now, they're not looking for God to solve the problems. Politicians are not. Leaders are not. Many preachers are not. They're looking for the world to solve the problems. They're looking for the educational system to solve it and get us all so smart that we won't make any bad mistakes. That's right. They're trying to get us so much technology out that we know how to take technology and do everything. I saw today where that they got an outfit now that they can take mom and daddy at the house now, and all the kids can watch what they're doing all day long. And watch them open the refrigerator. Watch them take their medicines. Got to spy on mom and daddy. Amen. Got to take care of all that. They said that's a good thing. Well, I don't know. Amen. You might see more than you want to see, brother. I'll make some faces at you. You start doing that to me. Amen. Hear me. But anyhow, we look here and it says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. He went back and told him, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city God let them have what they wanted. God can let you have what you want. That don't necessarily mean that that's what you need. That don't necessarily mean that that's what God wants you to have. Amen. Oh, Lord, I want to have a Lincoln Continental. Oh, Lord, I want to have a Lincoln Continental. And you can call around, you can call around and check around. And one day on church day, you come driving in the yard and you got a Lincoln Continental. It smells like a Lincoln Continental. It looks like a Lincoln Continental. It drives like a Lincoln Continental. And you feel like you own a Lincoln Continental. Amen. 2 months later, you're standing on the third row back in the church and said, I want you to pray. I'm having a rough time paying for that Lincoln Continental. Looks like I'm going to have to let it go back. And I thought it was the will of God that I have that Lincoln Continental. It was a permissive will of God. I ain't never bought a Lincoln, but brother, I bought some others. Amen. I had a Dodge. Brother, I'll tell you what, that wasn't much, but ain't nothing to brag about. Ain't nothing worth writing home about, but I bought myself a brand new Dodge. I wanted a new car. I drove it. 20,000 miles. Sorriest thing I ever had. I wept and cried and prayed and wept and cried and prayed and wept and cried and prayed for months. God, get rid of this hunk of junk. I can't do nothing with it. Paid cash for it. Didn't have no trouble making payments. I didn't have none. It passed everything but the garage. And finally took it down. And I said, God, help me. I'll take the ugliest thing on the street. It don't matter what it looks like anymore. Went down and I couldn't get a Ford. I couldn't get a Chevrolet. Took that Dodge down. The only place to trade with me was Plymouth. Got one of the ugliest looking Plymouths you ever seen in your life. Got in that thing and drove it and drove it and drove it and drove it. And everybody say it's ugly, but I drove it and drove it and drove it. Wheels nearly fell off of it and I got rid of it. Been there? God knows He can give us our will. Let it be the permissive will. But I want the perfect will of God. I don't want no more than what God wants me to have. Amen. Well, now, I said that in the spiritual light. There's a little part of me that wants more than that. I'm not lying. There are some things I'd like to have. But on the spiritual side of town, looking from the right word of God, I want to tell you tonight, there's some things that I don't want. I might like to have them, but I don't want them if they're not in the will of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ladies and gentlemen, you can live in that permissive will. Did you know that's a dangerous place? What did God say? He said, down the road you're going to get in trouble. And you're going to call on me. Guess what? I ain't going to hear you. I'm not going to answer your prayers. I'm not going to answer you. That's bad business, isn't it? I don't want to live my life that God wouldn't be pleased with. So let's stand tonight.